Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're getting into something that, well, it really affects everyone, even if you don't think about it much.
Yeah.
How our public resources get managed.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, who's really benefiting when it comes to something huge like youth sports? I mean, it's massive industry, often running right out of facilities that you, the taxpayer, own.
That's exactly right. And our deep dive today is going to focus on how the practices of a law firm might actually, you know, impact these really vital community assets.
Yeah.
We're going to unpack some pretty detailed research analysis about a firm called Stewart & Clover LLP. They have incredibly deep roots in Oklahoma, lots of influence in municipal law there.
So our mission here is to pull out the key insights from this research. And what jumped out at me right away was this kind of unexpected link.
Mm-hmm.
How does a law firm's inside knowledge gained from a big whistleblower case way down in Florida
mm-hmm.
potentially connect back to how public sports facilities in Oklahoma handle their money? And what does that mean for, like, transparency?
It really boils down to understanding that complex interplay, doesn't it? Between, you know, specialized legal know-how, civic duty, and where the money actually flows in these public spaces raises some big questions about accountability.
Okay, so to really get into this, we first need to understand the main player here. Stewart & Clover LLP. This isn't some new firm. They've been part of Oklahoma's legal scene for, what, over 100 years?
Yeah, over a century. That's some serious history, a major legacy.
And their bread and butter is municipal law, right?
Absolutely. They're involved in, well, pretty much everything cities do legally. Drafting ordinances, working out annexation policies. They help set up TIF districts. Those are tax increment financing tools cities use for redevelopment projects.
Okay.
And public trusts, which are often used to manage community assets, like these sports complexes we're talking about. Plus, the basics, like making sure cities comply with open records and open meetings laws, you know, the bedrock of transparency.
And they're not working for small towns, necessarily. Their clients include places like Shawnee, Choctaw, parts of Seminole County.
Right, major public entities. So they're deeply connected in the very communities where these public sports facilities are located and generating revenue.
But there's a really key distinction the research makes, isn't there?
Yes, and it's crucial. The research is very clear. Stewart & Clover LLP has not been the lawyer for the USSSA directors or other youth sports operators in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Their job, their specific role, has always been representing the cities and the public bodies that actually own the facilities. That's fundamental to this whole discussion.
Right. And that distinction sets up this next part, which pulls us away from Oklahoma for a minute, down to Florida. This seems to be where things get really interesting.
It does. The research points to this Florida connection as critical. It argues Stewart & Clover gains some unique insight into, let's call them opaque revenue reporting tactics.
Yeah.
By either advising the lawyers involved or at least closely observing the legal fight in that Florida Attorney General versus USSA whistleblower case, they got an inside look.
Wow. Okay. So they potentially saw how things could be hidden or, you know, not reported properly.
Exactly. And what's really striking here, according to the research, is the potential missed opportunity.
How so?
Well, having that specific insider knowledge, fresh from a major case involving the exact type of sports organization operating in their Oklahoma clients' facilities, it put the firm in a unique spot.
They could have warned their Oklahoma client.
They could have, yeah. Proactively said, hey, based on what we've seen elsewhere, you need to be really careful about your reporting requirements, your bidding processes for these facility contracts. They sort of had a map of potential problems.
So they had this valuable, maybe even cautionary insight. Why wouldn't they share that with their Oklahoma City clients? This leads to the core argument in the research, doesn't it? This idea of strategic omission.
That's the term the research uses. The central idea is how a firm, maybe by choosing silence, could potentially allow the continuation of the very kind of murky financial practices they had learned about.
Letting those fee flows continue without the cities pushing back too hard.
Right. And this ties into something else. The research mentions a potential chilling effect.
Meaning?
The idea is if a city government feels like it might lose its trusted legal counsel or be advised against challenging certain arrangements, well, that could discourage them from seeking reforms or demanding more transparency. It's a tricky spot for a municipality if they feel dependent on their lawyers.
And when we talk about these fee flows, the numbers involved aren't small change, are they? The research actually puts figures on the table.
No, not at all. The research details the total tournament entry fee revenues. This is the money taken in by the tournament directors, not the firm's fees in the cities where Stewart and Clover were counsel.
Okay, give us an idea.
All right, so for Shawnee, where the firm was engaged from 2015 to 2025, the total tournament revenue figure cited is just over $1 million. $1,039,160.29.
Wow. Over $1 million in just one city. And the firm's influence during that time?
Well, being municipal counsel for that decade means they were likely involved in, or at least aware of, the agreements and policies governing how that money was handled.
What about other places?
Choctaw, with the firm involved from 2019 to 2025, saw even higher tournament revenues reported. $1,650,667.46.
Over $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm. And in Seminole County subdivisions, where they were counsel from 2018 onwards, it was $154,923.40. Again, these are the total revenues generated by the tournaments themselves.
But it highlights the scale of the financial activity happening under the legal frameworks the firm was advising on.
Precisely. It underscores the financial significance of these facilities and the arrangements governing them. It's a lot of money moving through publicly owned assets over a sustained period.
Okay, so given this context, the firm's role, the Florida insight, the money involved, what about the legal and ethical side? The research digs into the Oklahoma Rules of Professional Conduct, the ORPC.
It does. It looks at how the firm's alleged silence, this strategic omission, might square with those rules.
Which rules specifically?
Well, first, it points to potential issues under Rule 1.7. That's the rule dealing with conflicts of interest.
Okay.
The argument explored is whether the firm's alleged failure to warn cities about potential revenue reporting issues could create a conflict. You know, if their silence inadvertently benefits private tournament operators more than the public client, they're duty-bound to serve.
And then there's another rule mentioned, 1.13G. That sounds pretty central.
It really is. Rule 1.13G is quite specific for lawyers representing organizations, including cities. It says the lawyer must act in the organization's best interest.
So the research questions whether silence fits that description.
Exactly. If the firm had specific relevant knowledge about potentially problematic practices learned from that Florida case, perhaps, and allegedly didn't share it, the research asks, is that really acting in the city's best interest? Especially when public funds and assets are involved?
It seems like basic competence and diligence come into play too. Rule 1.1, right? Could failing to flag these known risks be, well, a problem under that rule?
That's another angle the research explores. Rule 1.1 covers competence and diligence. The suggestion is that for a firm with deep expertise in municipal law, especially if they have specific insight into risks related to these sports agreements, failing to advise their public clients about those known risks, risks about revenue handling, bidding rules, stuff like that, could potentially raise questions about meeting the expected standard of care, maybe even bordering on a potential malpractice territory.
It's a serious consideration.
Mm-hmm.
But importantly, the research doesn't just present one side. It offers what it calls dueling narratives to understand the alleged silence.
Yes, it's crucial to look at the alternate explanations provided. For instance, take the Florida whistleblower insights. The firm knew things but didn't advise Oklahoma clients. That's one narrative.
Okay.
The alternative perspective is just because you learn something in out-of-state litigation doesn't automatically mean you have a legal duty to proactively advise all your local clients about it. The connection might not be direct enough legally.
Makes sense. What about the mention of personal access to someone named Joe V? A meeting confirming awareness of illegal practices.
Right. That's presented as evidence the firm knew. But the counter is that municipal lawyers hear a lot of things, many allegations or concerns.
Sure.
Choosing not to act on every single piece of information might just be about client confidentiality or making a legal judgment call that specific action wasn't warranted based on what they heard.
Then there's the claim about their deep knowledge of local municipal culture, that this expertise somehow enabled these land runs, quick deals, benefiting private operators using public resources.
Mm-hmm. The flip side presented is that helping with land use transactions, facilitating development deals, well, that's pretty standard work for municipal lawyers.
It's what they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So from that view, the firm was just doing its job, facilitating economic activity. The fact that private parties benefited is often the point of such development deals, not necessarily a sign the lawyers did anything wrong.
And the final point, the omission versus commission argument. Silent on reporting duties might be an actionable failure under Rule 1.1. What's the other side of that?
The alternate explanation kind of shifts the responsibility. It argues that at the end of the day, it's the city staff, the managers, the clerks, the parks department, who are primarily responsible for actually enforcing the contracts and rules day to day.
So the lawyers advise, but the city executes.
Sort of. The argument is that the primary oversight responsibility lies with the municipal officials themselves.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, the research paints this picture of a real tension. Stewart and Clover had this unique position, right? Deep municipal expertise, plus this specific insider knowledge about youth sports finances.
Yeah, a position where they potentially could have pushed for more transparency, maybe curbed some of the issues around using taxpayer facilities.
But then contrasted with that potential is this alleged strategic silence, which, as the research lays out, raises pretty serious questions about their professional duties, potential conflicts, maybe even malpractice under Oklahoma's rules.
It's a significant gap between what they might have been positioned to do and what the research claims actually happened, or rather, didn't happen.
And the research doesn't just leave it there. It actually suggests some concrete next steps, doesn't it, for getting more clarity?
It does. It recommends trying to formalize conversations, especially with key figures like this Joe Vorndren mentioned, maybe get written confirmation of the firm's position on transparency issues. Document everything.
Makes sense. What else?
Targeted records requests. Asking the cities for any memos or advice Stewart and Clover provided specifically about these youth sports agreements, the revenue flows, and importantly, bidding compliance. Getting the paper trail.
And going straight to the Bar Association.
That's another suggestion. Seeking a formal ethics opinion from the Oklahoma Bar Association on this specific question. The strategic silence about known risks in municipal law count as an ethics violation. Getting an official ruling.
That would be definitive.
And finally, it mentions the idea of potentially collaborating with public whistleblowers, using the research itself to maybe engage the media or local officials, try to bring more light to internal firm discussions or the bigger financial picture, encourage accountability that way.
So this whole deep dive really leaves you thinking, doesn't it, about this intersection of legal expertise, public money, and transparency. What does it really mean for lawyers advising our cities and for the officials themselves to truly act in the best interest of us, the taxpayers?
Mm-hmm. Especially when it involves something so central to community life, like youth sports operating on public fields. It's definitely something to chew on.